Namaskara UVC. Welcome to another episode of UVC Chronicles. I am your host, Sujay Vikram GS, and I am from the third year ECE. I have with us one of the youngest, one of the smartest, and one of the most dynamic personalities on Chronicles. He happens to be Shiva Pundir. Now, Shiva Pundir graduated from Department of Computer Science and Engineering in the year 2020. He is but 4 years apart from us, and at the same time is heading an entrepreneurial endeavor called Inserto Technologies, dealing with something very brand new, very latest, called observability. We are just pumped to have him here, and we're going to interview him, get to know him better. So welcome to the show, Shiva. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm pretty sure our listeners are curious about what your startup is all about, what it's called. So before we dwell into that, I wanted to just let the viewers know that Mr. Shiva, he deals with something called observability. Yeah, it's a pretty new term to most of us here. It's the latest technology. That is what is trending as of now. His startup's called Inserto. Go check it out. It's called Inserto Technologies. We are going to learn more about what observability is from Mr. Shiva himself. Also, now we're going to go through the life of Mr. Shiva and how he got into the entrepreneurial journey. So, Shiva, the question to you right now is, how was life before joining UVC? And could you also describe your early childhood and your early childhood memories?
So before UVC, I come from armed forces background. My dad's in Indian Air Force, right? In fact, my co-founder is also from the same background, Indian Air Force. In fact, his dad and my dad used to work in the same department, right? I have known Anurag from class 11th. It's been 10 years probably. And that was pretty much it. Armed forces, campus, somewhat disciplined life. Although I would not agree to that.
So rules and breaking the rules.
Yeah, probably. And then after 12th, we both of us joined UVC, right? UVC was a different experience in itself, right? I don't think we studied much, or let me put it this way, I think we studied bare minimum just to make sure we somehow passed our exams and were promoted to the next, until we finally graduated. There are many stories what happened in the 4 years, but we'll get on to that later. And after UVC, it has been very, I would say, diversified, right? Startups, and then seeing the startup 0 to 1, 1 to 10 journey, and then working with a really big firm, and then finally starting our own. So it's been great till now, and it's gonna remain the same, I know. We'll keep grinding, we'll keep building. And we'll do great. I have no qualms about it. It might take a little more time, or might happen a little early, doesn't matter, but we will reach where we are planning to. And
Oof, that's very infectious. The energy you have, the optimism you carry for the future, and your drive for success. Talking about your skill sets, I was going through your LinkedIn, and under your skill sets, you had mentioned that breaking your phone screen and also wearing Hawaiian shirts happened to be your skill set. Why that? Why did you mention that? Is there a story behind the same? And please let us know, obviously.
So again, there's a story behind this.
Please go for the
story. You see this phone on the table. I think I've broken the screen 4 times. This is the 5th screen. So funny enough, my friends used to say ki ye screen todta hai, isko phone mat dena. So I just put it as a skill. Hawaiian shirt because I'm wearing one right now. Because I think the 4 years in college, pretty much all the t-shirts or the shirts I had were kind of look like Hawaiian t-shirts, Goa t-shirts. They used to have these palm trees, maybe water, some fish drawn on the top of them. So yeah, that's why the skill set says buying Hawaiian shirts. But very, very nice of you to only say the 2 skills which were out of the place, because I have also written other things.
Yeah, of course. The other ones are the money makers.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone cares, right? You remember the ones which stood out.
Those are the ones that had endorsements.
Exactly.
Funny enough, the others didn't have endorsements.
Exactly. Because my friends trusted me that I'd be breaking more phone screens rather than me solving, say, something in
C++. So breaking barriers elsewhere also, man.
That's a good way to put it, by the way. Breaking barriers.
Okay. Okay, let's go to the serious aspect of life, right? So for any dumb person, or like let's say a 5-year-old, could you like explain what observability is? And also I see open telemetry being used a lot in this sphere. So could you tell us more about open telemetry also?
So observability comes from information theory, where it's a formal definition, or and I'm gonna butcher it, but the thing is, it's the ability of a system state to be known by being outside and monitoring it. So, you know, knowing the internal states, but not by being inside, right? So you have some sort of data or some sort of signals coming out by which you can tell, hey, everything is wrong or everything is right, something is wrong, where did it go wrong, how do we figure this out and all that, right? So observability in terms of what we do, right, technology, is essentially we enable teams or companies or enterprises to have a view on their infrastructure, on their services, on their mobile application, on their web apps, pretty much everything, right? So they define, hey, something needs to work in a certain way, and if it doesn't, then where are the things wrong, right? How do you see that? And how quickly can you see that? And once you know what is wrong, how do you repair it, right? And the biggest of the question is why that happened. Because the older traditional systems didn't allow you to answer the why aspect of it. But the systems that we build, the thing we set up, allows you to answer this why question, which is very much important. Because if you're just doing monitoring, then you are just reactively doing what is happening, right? But if you are able to proactively measure and approach things, that's when it's more observable. The system is more observable, right? As compared to just knowing, hey, if this is a machine and it says red light, something is wrong. But green, everything is right. But you want to know even more, right? When is it red? Is it every time red? Like what part of the day is it red? All that, right? All sort of questions. Just imagine any question you can have for an infrastructure with a bunch of machines, right? You should be able to answer it with observability. Now coming to the question of open telemetry. Open telemetry is like another tool, right? Which we use or leverage to set up observability for companies, right? To give you an example, in this space, there are a lot of competitors, right? There have been a lot of companies. There's a big company like Datadog, Dynatrace, New Relic and all that. When open telemetry was not there in the picture, because open telemetry came in 2019. Before that, there was no open telemetry. The thing was, when the very first company who made this possible to observe your systems, they started with their own proprietary software, SDKs and APIs. But the problem was, if today I sign up with Datadog, right, and I want to move tomorrow, I can't, because my system is deeply coupled with their APIs, right? So I don't have the option to move, right? That's called vendor locking, right? So another example would be if I buy Aether today, and there's a charger which only works with Aether, right? And tomorrow I buy an Ola, or I buy a four-wheeler, right? My charger is not gonna work. But that's why companies, governments and companies joined together, came, there's gonna be a standard, right? So similarly, this is what happened. There used to be a bunch of companies, they were making their own proprietary software rules. So open source community, which is a big thing, right? CNCF, they came and they said, no more proprietary shit. We're gonna make a open standard for everything, namely metrics, traces and logs, and that's a talk for another day. And then they created this. So 2019 is the year that OpenTelemetry came out. They started working. 2021, it got a release for general availability release. 2023, that is last year when it actually got stable to use in production and all that. And that's when we latched onto that and said, hey, no more vendors lock-in. So no more listening to vendors. You want something, you do it yourself, you stay within your infra. And there's a specific market we are trying to target, right? And that's how it solved it. So OpenTelemetry history would be OpenCensus plus OpenTracing. OpenCensus came in 2017, I think. OpenTracing came in 2015. Both of them were doing the similar thing, but only for a particular type of telemetry data. OpenCensus was for metrics. OpenTracing was for traces. These two came together, said no more different standards. It's going to be just one standard. So for metrics, traces and logs, OpenTelemetry came into picture. So now you have only one standard, which everyone should follow. Even the proprietary people have started taking that, right? But there are still a lot of caveats here and there. So That's all we do. That's a long explanation, by the way.
A very long explanation.
Yeah.
I hope most of our viewers and listeners, they understand that. Or it could be over.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah.
Cycling back to your college life, right? We're talking about how college life was kind of hectic for you, given your teacher's penchant for 100% or almost 80% attendance of yours, and also how busy you were with hackathons and other competitions relating to competitive programming. And also tell us about your journey to the ICPC, that is the International Collegiate Programming Competition. Tell us how that helped you improve yourself maybe and the skills you gained, and that'll be a good thing for our viewers too.
So 2016, we took part in a competition which is called eYantra. I think it is hosted by IIT Bombay,
Bombay.
Right? So that was me, Anurag, Rutu, and one more guy from ISC called Raja. Oh no, Raja was not there actually. Raja came with us on second year, not the first year. So that was the first year of us participating in something which is not part of college or direct curriculum. In the second year, I think Anurag went for ACM ICPC, right? But that time I was not part of the team. In the third year, I think I was part of the team when he went for ACM ICPC. So every year we did, we kind of did ACM ICPC every year, and then first year and second year we did eYantra, right? Every year we used to participate in Summit also.
Okay.
Right, that was like one of our prime things. So, although our senior Prateek used to be there, he used to always be ahead of us. but that was very inspiring, right? Again, so yeah, that was pretty much it. Us participating in a bunch of other things, a lot of small. I don't remember if I actually look back and open the. I have like a smaller register in which I've kept a bunch of certificates and other things. If I look, I've taken a lot of. This thing, Counter-Strike competitions in college. Like I hosted them and I participated in them. I used to play a lot of video games, right? Way too much.
Shout out to esports.
Yeah.
Club. Okay.
Yeah, like really, right? Really competitive. Like I've made a lot of money with that. Like in college, I think I would have made roughly 8,000, 10,000, right? And I know that's not a lot of money, but for a college student who was doing nothing and just playing video games, I was like, hey, good money, right?
Have fun and make money.
Exactly, right? It went on to college after 1 year of college also, but after that, I pretty much stopped, right? I don't get time. I don't even have Windows now, man. So yeah, I have Linux and Mac only. So I can't even play video games. But yeah, that was all the things. eYantra, Summit, ICPC. We also did Code Forces, right? Anurag, so by the way, I wasn't really a good coder. I don't consider myself to be a good coder now also either. I don't think I am, because I genuinely actually don't like technology, maintaining it.
Well, you're just being modest, I guess.
I'm telling you the truth. I like building things.
Every good software developer.
I like building things. I like hacking them. I can Google and get things done, but I don't want to maintain it for next 2 years. I'm gonna build it, give it to someone else, and that's your job. But I'm call it a day. I can't do it because I'm like, what's next? What's new, right? So you must have seen I started with ML, then I sort of went into backend and everything because when I joined my startup, we were just like three people.
Yeah, I'm just curious about how you managed to get good grades, managed to deal with exams while you were in college, because exams are these demons that scare most of the adults, including all college-going kids. Were there any strategies that you employed? Tell us more about all of that.
So I'll tell you, there was a strategy. I think the curriculum might have changed now, or the paper design, I don't know. There used to be 8 questions, I think. And you were supposed to answer five.
By any chance, was it the CBCS scheme that you're talking about?
I have no clue, man.
Okay,
which
it changed.
It might have changed, yeah. Might have probably changed. Correct, right. So there used to be like five questions you were supposed to answer. So 8 units used to be there, and you were supposed to learn only 5 units. And if you learn 5, you can score 100 if you are really good at 5. So we were 4 people, okay? So I was tasked with studying 2 units and making notes. Rutu was tasked with studying another 2 units and making notes. And the last 1 unit was given to Anurag and Vikas. The way they used to make notes, we used to just say back, you know what, tum rehne do, we'll make it again. So me and Rutu again used to make those notes. And we used to just study from that notes. I still have those notes with me. Like they are like A4 folded half, and I still have, like, I can go back. So that was a that was the strategy. Just 2 days before, make all the notes. Just understand what is important. Turn it down enough that you have some abstract of the answer, and then you can write stories, whatever, in the paper, right? And then that's how we studied. That's why we shared notes, and we managed to pass the exams. I don't think exams were hard, at least. I'm not sure about now. I don't think exams were hard if you have some brain. And if you are focused for like, if you can focus for a day or two, you're sorted, man. You can easily score 60, 70, 80. Yeah, but we were struggling in that also because we didn't bother to study it.
Well, a warning to all of you is not all of us are of the caliber of Mr. Pundit.
I will not say that, but...
So yeah, a fair warning. If you try to do it, you'll have backlogs in your bags. Yeah.
I had a backlog in DST because the night before, instead of studying, I was playing Overwatch. And I didn't study. I was like, yeah, I'll figure it out, man. I know like 3 units I can manage. In the exams, that 3 units didn't go well. And I got a backlog. In fact, yeah. No, go ahead.
Okay.
No, I was just saying even Anurag got a backlog, I think, in the same. No, he got in M3. D.
Okay, the marks thingy. We don't really care.
Yeah,
our teachers do and our parents do. Parents more so than the teachers. So how did you convince your parents about your marks, and were they worried about you at all?
Yeah, they were worried. I think my, I come from a middle class, lower middle class.
Yeah.
So they are very stranger about marks. I remember when I dropped DSD. We were going back home in the bus and my dad called. He was, that time he was posted in West Bengal. He called and he said something which I can't really share on the podcast.
Okay,
but
tomorrow, follow Washi.
No. He didn't say that. He's not Bengali, dude. Like, he was just posted there. But he said something and like 4 of us were sitting. We could hear that. He was like, oh, dad is really pissed off. But yeah, all in all, I convinced him that it's okay. Backlog aa jata hai. We'll figure it out. But we did, because the way I was for first 2 years, in the third and fourth year, my CGPA, my percentage went up, right?
You streamlined the process.
Yeah, I streamlined. I said, okay, I have to give some emphasis on the exams. I mean, I can't really be too careless, because I was thinking of doing masters also, and then abroad they do care about your grades, right? So that's when I sort of started. And in fact, I met Jerry in second year itself. First year we didn't really talk much, and Jerry was one of the person who really gave me the confidence, hey, even I can try for masters, you know, this guy is doing it, it's gonna help me. And he did, right? He's an amazing person, by the way. But you know, there's a story after that why I didn't go in. As Jobs would say, right, Steve Jobs, you can only connect the dots looking backwards. You have no idea what's going to happen.
Direction, everything seems right.
Yeah, correct. Exactly.
Grass is greener on the other side.
Mom, dad will say, Bhagwan jo karta hai, achche ke liye karta hai. Yeah. But there is no actually basis for that. Fair enough.
Talk to me about your placements and how it was in the final year.
So final year placements, I didn't sit for placements. So me and Jerry both signed a letter that said we will not be sitting for placements, because I said I'll either prep for masters, and if I don't want to go for masters, I wanted a very specific job, which was machine learning. And I knew there was not a single company that has to come that used to take machine learning, and even if they did, they would be seeking for masters or PhD students, right? I started looking out on the internet, and I found Winkle from AngelList, and I applied. I had a bunch of interviews. I think I only applied to 3 companies. I got accepted to 2, and then I joined 1. That is my whole interview experience. After that, in my life, I've never given an interview. In fact, I feel if I give an interview now, I might fail.
So this is your 4th interview?
Probably. I don't think so, because you're not asking me coding questions and all that, right? So otherwise, I would be very blank, because I'm the
linked list.
I'm a guy who always Google things, right? So
do you chat GPT also a lot these days?
I do, but it's more of like ancillary, not really the main foundation. I know what I'm gonna do, but it really helps. Like one of my friend Rutu, right? I've written a lot of code with him using Copilot, not cheap GPT, but Copilot.
GitHub
Copilot. It really saves time for sure.
I think it'd be hard to discount the amount of contribution all these hackathons and extracurricular competitions got you. Do you think it'd be safe to assume that these hackathons helped you land your first job and also eventually helped you with your entrepreneurial endeavors?
Yeah, for sure. Although it'll be hard for me to directly pinpoint, I think there are like small anecdotal stories, but it's very hard to recollect and, you know, map one-to-one with, hey, this was the skill I learned and this really how it translated into some sort of, you know, revenue, money or job or something like that. But yeah, for sure. It in some way or another, it surely helped. I think communication is one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was just going out raw. So I got a chance to talk with a lot of people. So I got more confident about talking, right? About selling, because I think everyone's a salesman, right? Doesn't matter what you do, you have to be. Because interview is nothing but you selling yourself, right? So fundamentally, that was one thing I really liked. Like, if you can sell yourself, I think you're sorted. And I feel interviews are like very, you know,
luck based.
I think if you're taking an interview, right, you know you're gonna take the guy you're interviewing within probably like a minute or so. Like, you just get a gut feeling. After that, I feel you're like just trying to explain yourself why you're taking him or why not you're taking him, why you're rejecting him, right? But all this is talk which probably gonna make sense 10 years from now when again I can look back exactly, right, and say, yeah, it worked.
So you finally got placed in a startup. So cycling back to the startup question.
I would say I finally got a job at a startup because I wasn't really placed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right, there's a big difference.
And how was the journey like at the startup and what did you learn there?
So startup, start from the beginning itself. We were, the tech team was just three guys. I was the seventh employee. I started with machine learning, but then I went on to take the infra, started writing microservices in Python, Ruby, all that, right? The team grew from 7 to 23 and then to 32 people, okay? And after that, in March 2022, this was the whole 0-1 journey, by the way, right? In March 22, we got acquired by a company called MyGlam to form a company of bunch of small companies. And they called it Good Creator Company, GCC, right? There it was another experience, right? In the startup, it was more about duct taping and making sure everything was running, right? It was more of like, hey, just figure it out, make sure it runs, and then let's move on with our day, right? But when it got acquired, things started to become more streamlined, right? We started writing more microservices rather than monolithic systems. I went on to write code in Golang. We did a lot of migrations from old databases to new database. Bunch of things happened, right? So I saw the 1-10 journey there. And then in March 2023, I left, right? And after that, it's another journey. I can tell you if you want me to.
So you learned a lot. You also got a lot of recognition for the same. You made this post on LinkedIn. It says you solved this bottleneck. I mean, they made a post about how you solved a bottleneck.
Yeah.
So what was this bottleneck that you solved?
You know, fun fact, I don't even remember which bottleneck it was. Remember, there was a bottleneck. I think the one I solved was for, yeah, I remember now, because there were a bunch of bottlenecks. I think the one that the post on the LinkedIn is talking about is the one where, so I don't know if you are aware of what LinkedIn used to do. So they were like the creator company who wanted to be like Uber Ola for brands and creators. So brands are always on the lookout for some sort of campaign, right? So they want to hire influencers, right? For promotion, posts and all that. Because the way advertising has changed, right? No one watches TV. Everyone scrolls on Instagram and YouTube, right? Winkle wanted to be in the middle and they wanted to like connect and enable brands to get with a wide number of influencers. But the moment you bring in a lot of influencers, the question becomes, if you as a brand come and you ask, hey, I want someone who's from who does some sort of beauty content, right? So maybe Deepak here is a beauty influencer, right? So now you don't know Deepak as a brand, right? But it's my job to get Deepak to you. Now, if I get Deepak to you, right? How do I make sure that Deepak is the one you're looking for, right? Now, if there are only 10 influencers all over India, we can easily tag everyone in which category they belong to. But when there are 10,000 and lakhs of influencers on the platform, it becomes very hard. So what I essentially did, right, and I only didn't do it. There was an intern also for 4 months. He also helped me a lot, right? We both of us build a categorization system based on what content Deepak or any influencer produces, right? So as and when Deepak's content and Deepak's profile comes into our system, we automatically categorize it to whether it's a beauty influencer, whether it's a sports influencer, whether it's a art or a fitness or pretty much anything, right? And we started doing the same for YouTube also. And we started creating things on top of this also. For example, if you are happy with Deepak, you want to know 9 more other Deepaks who works in the similar sort of category, right? With similar reach, similar following and all that, similar metadata around it. We will recommend you other 9 Deepaks, right? And then you were happy because this whole process became automated. Now you are able to do it at scale, Right. So that was this bottleneck that was not solved. Before that, otherwise, people in the team used to just sit through, scroll through like hundreds of influencers to see, hey, which is going to work, which is not going to work. Right. This just made sure that this whole process become automated and expanded the pool of influencers a brand can choose from. So that was the bottleneck that those guys were talking about.
Categorization.
Pretty much categorization.
And I believe that categorized you as one of the best engineers or interns there.
I would not say that. I think I was average. I would say that.
Modesty comes into the picture.
No, I would have said if I was really that good, but I think I know my way to hack around things and build it, honestly. But I think there are brilliant engineers who I have met who truly are to be called engineers. When I say that, I mean like they can superiorly maintain some sort of infra for a really long time. I am more of like, as an individual, of course, when I get my teammates with me, whom we are complementing each other with our different skill set, we are another team with another, we are like a beast who can pretty much solve any sort of problem. But as an individual, I'm more of like a builder, you know, like I'm more, I told you, right, I'm more interested.
Pieces together.
Kind of, right? I like building and then it's like, hey, this works, figure it out, make it, refine it. Right, that onus is onto someone else.
And inserting here a break and going into Inserto, how did you come up with the name for Inserto Technologies?
Oh, nice question. So,
shout out to Ryan, one of your juniors. He asked me to ask you this.
Oh, that's a good question. So Inserto, I am a fan of someone called Naseem Nicholas Taleb. I think he's a professor in university, I'm not sure which university, but he has written a bunch of books. You might have heard Black Swan, Skin in the Game. So there is a book series and the name of the book series is Inserto. Inserto actually means uncertain, which is a negative word, right? But the thing is when we were, you have to submit your company name to MCA, right? Ministry of Corporate Affairs. And if your name is very close to other name or it's similar, you can't really get a name. So Inserto was the only name which no one has ever taken. And I said, you know what, we're gonna take it. And because it was the only name where no one can raise any sort of, trademark infringement issues. And we went in with it. And I was anyways a fan of Inserto series. So I said, yeah, it's going to work. Despite the fact that it's a negative. But I don't care. I feel what's in the name. You know, and Dhoni used to keep short hair. Everyone started keeping short hair. When he got bald, everyone started becoming bald. So it's never about the, like, as who said it? Shakespeare? What's in the name? Like tomorrow, if our company, which I'm pretty sure is going to do great, no one's gonna care what's in the name, man. Nobody cares. So that's the story behind the name. There's no fancy, hey, this happened and there was a miracle moment. I'm quite sure there's nothing like that. We just wanted to get done with the name and it's like, yeah, let's just focus on the actual business. Nobody cares.
And what is your work at Inserto like? And one other question. So there is a problem statement behind your company. Like, how did you get into that niche?
I started in Winkle, I stayed there for a year, it got acquired, I stayed there for another year, right? In March 2023, I left and I joined a consulting firm called Dhruv Consulting Services. And from there, I actually joined another consulting firm. It was like only like a boilerplate, but I actually, not really a boilerplate, like a forefront. But I actually joined another consulting, which was in America called Ahead Consulting. And they were solving a problem for a company which I can't name in terms of observability, right? That was the first time I actually got to know about observability. So it's not even been a year, right? March is here, right? Yeah. So 1 month from now is when I'll be like, okay, it's been a year since I have known observability. But so it took me 3 months, I worked on this and I realized this is very good. Open telemetry is a big thing. It's going to blow up just like Kubernetes was in 2014. Pretty much now every company uses Kubernetes, right? So we believe every company needs to use OpenTelemetry. There is no other choice. You just have to. Irrespective of what vendor or what front-end you use, for the instrumentation part, for actually capturing the data, you just have to use OpenTelemetry. So that's when I realized there is a market for this and people are going to move, right? They're going to need help. They're going to need expertise. And that's when we realized that we can sell our expertise, right? That's where the business, the whole thing started. Although funny thing is... We didn't really start with observability when we started. We said we are really good engineers and we can solve your problems. Okay, we started with the generic stuff. Okay, we said we are good engineers. We can solve your problems. Throw us a problem, we'll solve it for you. Right, all that. We started that. We just started cold outreach on LinkedIn and we got two clients like that. But funny enough, one of the client was a brokerage firm called Fires, and it's probably like top five in India. And they wanted observability. So we're like, hey, observability is what we did a couple of months back, right? And we always wanted to do this. And they want this, why not do this? And when we did for them is when we realized the true, true potential. Because it's easy to say sitting on your desk, right? In theory, right, reading market trends and all that. But once you do it and you actually see the value, is when you really get the conviction or the validation that you were looking for. And that's when we're like, we are going to kill this. Yeah, it's amazing. We should do this. That's when we sort of started. Yeah, currently, yeah. So, yeah.
You know, a good team is what is required for a really good company. So how did you get all these prodigious minds to work for you? And how did you meet them? And how did you come across?
So when we started, it was just me and Anurag. Right, Ritu was there, but he was gonna go to George Washington, right, for his masters. So he worked as part time for a couple of months with us, almost like 3-4 months. We also had some of other Anurag's friends working part time. So one other guy who Pandey mutually know, I don't know the story, man. Like that, just someone knows someone, and you randomly meet them, and then you hit off on some sort of area where everyone's like, yeah, this could work, right? And then you sort of start. So it was like that. I think our team is small right now. We are just 5 people. We are thinking of hiring 2 more people. But yeah, that's it. But I feel you attract what you are. So if you are good at what you do, if you have the right culture, if you're thinking in the right terms, you will get people.
Something about your vibe, getting your tribe. All of that.
Maybe. I'm not really aware of that slang, but hey, today I learned.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, so that was the case. Yeah. But we're going to build a team also. It's going to take a time. We are.
And then how did you, like, did you bootstrap the startup of yours, or did you raise funds?
So it's completely bootstrap. We have been profitable from day one, and we didn't raise any funds. We didn't see the need to raise funds because we were not really building anything where we needed money. Right, we were a small team, although we are currently sort of looking, but still not clear. We are thinking about it. Someday we think we need, someday we don't. So it's in a dilly dally, but we have been profitable. It's bootstrapped from the day one, so I would say it's all good. Yeah, I don't think money is a problem for us.
A little earlier you'd mentioned about how selling something is like the most important thing. So how do you sell this SaaS of yours, software as a service?
Actually, ours is not SaaS service. It actually sits on your infrastructure. SaaS would, this is the market we are targeting. So the market we are targeting is all the people who can't afford to take SaaS because of X number of problems, right? When I say afford, I don't just mean price, but because of all other complications also. For example, fintech companies are under a lot of regulations, right? They are supposed to keep some sort of data with them. So they can't afford to send all the data to some third party, right? Either they sign up with a bunch of contracts, but with big companies, these contracts tend to get a lot of they tend to get expensive as the time goes and as the data grows, right? So our solution is what this we are targeting in this market itself. It's mostly fintech and security firms, right? Which they have complications, as I'm telling, conditions like constraints, like regulations, right? Compliances, brokerage firms, SEBI, then government, fintech, RBI, right? They have to send data as and when they want, right? They want to retain data for a long period, right? They want to retain it for 7 years. Brokerage firm wanted to retain it for 7+ and 10+ years actually. So retaining 10+ data for 10+ years with a third party is going to cost them a fortune. They'll probably sell their company, right? That's where we come in, right? And because it's all open source, our tool is actually, we never build it. We knit and stitch together 3 open source tools. And we never claim we actually build anything. We said we have knit, stitched together these 3 tools. Obviously, there was a lot of optimizations that we did, right? If I give it to you, these 3 tools, right, you won't be able to do it. I mean, you will be, but you'll take a lot of time because we have done the process of iterating over it, right? We have optimized what needs to happen. So now what we do is we come to you as a fintech enterprise, if you are, right? And if you are looking to have this, our software in your infra itself, we come, we help you set it up within your infra, and then you start using it. We also maintain it for you if you wanted to, so that as and when the scale grows, we can replicate and scale it accordingly, you know, 2x, 4x, 16x, whatever you're looking at. So this is what we try to sell. And we also sell our services in the sense, if you still want to stick with some third party, you can still stick with the third party, But underlying, which I was talking about, right? Instead of using vendor-specific APIs, you should use OpenTelemetry, which is open source. So that tomorrow, if you want to move, you are not stuck. No vendor locking, right? So it's vendor agnostic, OpenTelemetry. That's where we help. So these two things are what we...
At the heart of your startup, it's customization and optimization. Could I put it that way?
I would say, yeah. Yeah, customization and optimization for you. So it's one liner if I have to give, I would say it's observability custom built for you on your infra, right? So because we believe one size doesn't fit everyone. So you have to like go to them, talk to them, what are they looking, right? And build it for them. So that's the market we are looking for.
So each company, each client, he brings a new problem, and that's
correct.
What makes it fun, I believe.
Yeah, 100%.
Every problem is a new problem.
Correct. I think that was the motto when we started, right? As I told you, we didn't really start with observability. We started with the problem solving. We said we like different challenges, problems every day. I think both of us really get bored easily with just one problem. So every time there's something new, you're like, yeah, this is going to be fun. Can we solve this? And every time you solve one problem, people don't realize you learn so much. And like you keep doing this for a long period of time, you get like a good view of what is happening, at least for a domain in a certain industry. So maybe with that knowledge or insight, you can build products around it. So we're like, yeah, we can do that. Of course, we start with observability, but we can expand as and when we feel there are other domains to attack.
And what about the observability, and is it here to stay? And how long will it be here for?
Is it
proof, all of that?
Yeah, it is going to stay here, like just like Kubernetes. So OpenTelemetry is the second most started project in GitHub. First is Kubernetes. Okay, so how Kubernetes was in 2014, 2016 is how OpenTelemetry is now. So 5 years from now, people are going to be looking for people. Like one of the skill set in DevOps SRE role is going to be, do you know how to use OpenTelemetry? So people should know how to use it, how the OTTL language and everything is written. So it's 100% it's going to stay here. It's not going to go anywhere. Because this is a fundamental thing, right? You leave observability, the term. Essentially, if you're building something, if you have a car, right, you want to have some way of knowing whether your car is working the way it is intended to, correct? And this goes in any system. Now, car is a still simple system, although I know it's very complex. But if you scale it to a big enterprise, which is running like thousands and thousands of databases, right? Hundreds of clusters, right? Different hosts, different containers coming up, going down every second, right? You don't know what the hell is happening. So if something goes wrong at one part of the whole equation, right? How do you know where it went wrong? All this. So it is not going to go anywhere. It's only going to enable a better quality of life for an engineer, right? Be it DevOps, SRE, or be it a software developer. Because it's going to enable you to write your code in a better way. You don't have to worry about... Because even if you make a mistake, you are now capable of figuring it out, hey, where did I actually make the mistake? And you can, in no time, you can actually fix it, right? Otherwise, you have to go back to traditional methods, or to SSH into some instance, check the logs, do tail, grep, all that. Nothing is required. Everything is correlated. Everything is at one place. You get these beautiful dashboards, click of a journey and all that. So it is here to stay. It is here to enable, and everyone needs it. Everyone needs it. You just need it. Maybe not to a... And obviously at different levels, right? Maybe if I'm a small company of just 10 people, maybe I need only a level 1. But tomorrow if I'm 100 people, right, maybe I'll need level 2. And then I become 2,000 people company, I'll need level 5. Right? So it'll grow. But the thing is, if you use these things today, OpenTelemetry, it's going to help you grow step by step. Otherwise, if you're stuck with some vendor with a shortcut, it's going to bite back. And you have to do like a big migration and all that. So... And there are a lot of benefits also using OpenTelemetry, right? Open source, you don't have to pay to anyone. You have much more control. There are a lot of things. I don't want to go into that technical aspect, but yeah.
So your company is about 7 months old?
Correct. I think so. Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, I think so. Seven months.
In its infancy.
Yeah, yeah. So 7-8 months, I think so.
How do you want to grow the company, and what's the aim you have? What's the vision you have with respect to the company?
So... Short term, I would say we want to be like the people for observability, at least in India, and then probably to the world. We are currently, like, I had a call day before yesterday with a client in US, So we want to present or put out ourselves as the people who knows any sort of problem around observability can be solved. And if there's a problem, these people are the ones to be called. So we want to be that, right? And we want to start with observability, but if everything, I don't want to stop. I want to keep continuing to build it, right? Maybe someday I want to be the company which can solve pretty much any technical problems, right? We can start with observability and then we can move to security, right? Because security is also something we are working with one of our client. And then maybe security also, we understand this, right? We want to be like really good. So if anyone has any problem, they should be like, man, insert other people you should go to, because those guys know they can solve everything. That is where I want to be maybe 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now. I'm not sure about the timeline. I usually don't put too much of emphasis on timelines, and I know there should be a vision, but it should only be in terms of fundamentals, right? Fundamentals in the sense we want to be that good. It doesn't have to be this domain or that domain. Today I'm saying this domain, right? But you never know, right? Tomorrow we might see another problem, we might pivot, right? But even if we take that problem, we are going to be very good. We want to be very good at it, and I'm actually quite sure we will be, because right now also we are like really good in India. If you want to solve this, probably even in the world, right? Because I'm talking to US clients, and if you want to solve anything around observability, we are the people to connect to. We can solve it for you. So I want to do the same for other domains also, right? And who knows, maybe while doing this we figure out some product which we can build, right? Or any sort of problem that we see where a solution can be built, and we'll build it.
So as an entrepreneur, you keep learning and trying to expand it in your
100%.
Look at what the next observability, next Kubernetes is.
100%. So I believe that don't let your plans poison you, right? So of course I made a plan, I'm going to do this in next month, but it's okay, because that plan was made with respect to the knowledge I had 6 months back. Now I know new things in those 6 months, right? It's a good thing. It's natural for me to change or channel or steer my team or myself in the direction, right? And that keeps happening, you know, we keep steering ourselves to the direction we want. There is a fundamental vision that stays, that I told you, right? We want to be really good we want to generate value, right? And not always in terms of money. I think of course we want to make money and everyone wants to walk home with a good compensation in their pocket, right? But end of the day, it's the interaction you get with the client, right? So a client has been suffering from some problem from past 2 years, and we come and we solve them, and those guys are like, Shiva, Anurag, guys, you guys are amazing. We have paid so much money to this company and that company, but they were not able to, but you guys came in, right? Because we are young, right? We're 25. Usually people are like 40s are doing big company. They are very happy. That interaction, right? That feeling is, I think, unparalleled. You can't get that with money also. There are a lot of companies which make a lot of money, but people actually hate using their software. So that's what we want to be. We want to be like really good at value generation, be it wealth, be it problem solving, anything like that.
So to sum it all up, at Inserto, you have a big picture. You're working towards it one day at a time.
Correct.
With realistic goals for the day. And at the forefront or everywhere, you have customer satisfaction as your number one.
Correct, correct.
We'll end this with what message you have for the juniors who are listening. Yeah, any other tidbits of knowledge you'd like to give? We'll call it a day after this.
Yeah, sure. So for the juniors, I think keep discovering new things. Don't just keep thinking, keep trying. It doesn't have to be, hey, I started with this, I have to stick with this today. And don't let, just because you are in some branch or because you know X, don't think that you can't learn Y. You might be in CSE, but you want to build car, man. Just go it. Because this is one of my dreams. Like, I want to build a car, right? Although I don't know when I'll. But my only message would be to keep trying, keep researching new bunch of things, right? Don't be like, hey, I have to stick with this. You know, there are possibilities are endless, man. Like, you can build. And the way India is growing, I think it's going to get better and better for everyone, right? To start their own. So, yeah, I think... Yeah, just keep trying. I will not say any comments on the classes, attending classes or not attending classes.
Just build you, I believe.
Figure it out. Figure out your path. Could be while staying in the classes and doing the other stuff in the side, right? Could be bunking classes and doing it. I don't know. You know it better. But just give yourself a chance. Give yourself a chance, right? Just go out, try something. You'll figure it out eventually. You have a lot of time. So, yeah. Start early. I would suggest that start early, because it's easy, because no responsibilities, you can fail, you can try and fail again
very
and
fast.
Again. Yeah, you can try, fail. Maybe 10 years from now, you'll be in your 30s and you will have a bunch of other responsibilities. It will be a little more difficult to do so. So yeah, I think that'll be my one tip. Though there are hundreds of knowledge bits I could give, but yeah, that's top of my mind. I didn't really prepare. Man, I'll be preparing next time.
Bigger, better.
Yeah. So,
thank you for listening, viewers. You call it a day?
Yeah, yeah.
You
want
to ask us
something? No, I think all good, and thank you very much for inviting me. Although I was a little anxious, in the sense, I never felt I was really worthy of the podcast, to be honest, because I feel like there are brilliant people from our college who have like done really big value generating things, right? There's a whole wide big network of alumni. But I am honored to be here, and thank you for having me. It's been amazing.
Thank you. Those are words. It was a pleasure. And thank you to all the viewers that tuned in for this episode. We hope you learned a lot, and we hope you develop a scar tissue by learning continuously, like continuous integration, whatever that is. Like, keep learning.
CICD, man.
Monday, you might make it big. That's it, folks. Thank you.